I could have said anything right there. You like eating lizards?
Mm-hmm. No. Well, no. I've never had a lizard.
Snake tails? Mm-hmm.
Had armadillo once. It's illegal.
Where'd you get it?
Mexico.
That's not illegal in Mexico, though, right?
It is illegal in Mexico.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I started this one.
This was years ago. Didn't
turn your noise cancellation on. So stupid. I'm going to have to start that real quick. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's like just some people feel that way about life. They're like, not Hinge, unhinged. My favorite. Dude, you got it. Someone asked if any of us were techie, we would create the opposite of what some other name is just to like have some different rules and make it work. And then anyone that creates an app, you got to keep updating it. But I think there's a lot of money to be had there.
Yeah, like web developing and stuff.
Yeah, my friend makes apps, but I was like, oh, would you make me one? He was like, you know, with the amount of time it takes, it's kind of like video editing, unless you're doing it for a client. I was like, I'm not going to spend the time I put leisurely on my own videos, yeah, leisurely, into like editing a full movie for someone else for free. You're like, that's a lot of work. If you're doing your own project, you're like, sure, it's the passion hours, but those things can take a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So last time we had an episode, I was in Australia. We had done it before I left. Now I'm peeling like a lizard, actually. Like skin off my arms and back everywhere, and it's so gross. Take a shirt off to like change for the day, and I'm like, oh, great.
It just falls off.
Well, it's not like big chunks. It's just little bits of like snow.
Yeah, little snowflakes.
So I'm almost to the point of like, I think I lost 3-4 layers of skin with that burn. So it's like now I'm like, I kind of tan, but I was really tan before. But now at least my face, the first day my face had all these little like marks, or not marks, but just spots of where I needed to like brush it off. I was like, I need to exfoliate my whole back, but I can't reach it. So it's just going to take some time.
But are you putting on like lotion and stuff afterwards?
On my face. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else. I didn't even do aloe vera this time. I was like, let's just see how long this takes. might be three or four more days. Yeah. So, but I was like, this is what a snake feels like every season when they're moving around or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of snakes and reptiles on my trip. Lots of poisonous things in cages, not out in the wild, which was good. But the world's most deadly snake, which people love snakes, so we could talk about that for a minute. There were spiders too, but I didn't look at the spider enclosures. I was like, that's all right. But the adder, ADDER, is the most poisonous creature on earth. Like it'll kill anything, basically. and I was wondering if one of those snakes was to bite an elephant. I think the elephant's skin is tough, so maybe it couldn't kill it. But who knows? Maybe it'd take down an elephant too. But Australia is a magical place, even though it does have a lot of deadly things. And it was pretty fun going up to the Great Barrier Reef. So glad I got to do it and hang out with fam.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. I'm glad you got that time with your family members.
And you're planning on going sometime soon to Australia.
Absolutely not.
What about New Zealand?
No.
New Zealand's like Washington.
Okay.
I mean, it's like Washington, but tropical, but it's not, there's nothing deadly there. It's the opposite of Australia. They're so close together.
No, I really don't have any interest in like the tropics.
No, that's the only place I want to go. I mean, Europe is cool too. Italy has a lot of like warmer climates, but it's not like humid over there. It's just hot, right?
I don't know. I haven't been.
You've been all over the world. I got to hear these stories.
No. I really haven't traveled much.
I actually feel like I think I might have traveled a lot if I add up all the places so far, but a few to tropical places. But I was always enthralled with tropical places because I never got to go as a kid. So now that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
So any chance to be like overly warm in a climate that's humid, like Mississippi or Arkansas feeling, is cool.
Do it. Keep doing it.
I know. I want to go to the Caribbean next for like 3 days, get a villa on the beach and just work remotely for one day and then come back. So it's like, I'm not gone that long, but I just get to experience some other place for a few days and not spend a ton of money.
Would it take you longer to fly there and back than the time you'd spend there?
I don't think so. Not to the Caribbean, because it's right below Texas. So it's like a 4-hour flight to Texas. Then you connect to something which is maybe a couple hours. So it might be like 6 hours total each way. So if I left on like a Sunday afternoon and came back on a Wednesday night, that might you get 2 full days, 2.5 full days. That's enough to say you went somewhere. That's and not cool. spend a ton of money. Yeah. But yeah, if I was to go back to Australia now, after my brother moves back, it would be the staying somewhere, the flight, all that. It would be like double, triple the cost for everything.
Mm-hmm. I would go to Bali. Oh, I think that's the only like tropical place I think I'd go because of the water.
It's not that far. Really not that far from where I was at. It's like if you look at where I was up at the top of Australia, and then if you look, there's Indonesia, and there's all these islands right above. There's the Canary Islands somewhere over there. There's a bunch of stuff right up there. So within like 4 or 5 hours, I think you could fly to Bali from there.
Cool.
So tempting. So you might end up hitting. You never know. Bali is it for the temples and for the like everything else there, or because it's tropical for sure?
Just because of the water. I like how pretty it looks.
Oh yeah. Yeah, friend went there and did photos when he lived there for a while, and they look amazing. Like these trees with just what I love about all the tropical places, the trees with the vines that just like go like 50 feet up in the air and just come all the way down. And you're just like looking up and there's all these vines. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
And this morning there was a robin out in the driveway, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But I was like, walk right by, and someone who's not from here would be like, whoa, did you see that bird? Like whenever people can tell when you're a tourist, because when you're over there, I'm like pulling up my phone, taking pictures of every little animal, and people here are just like, whatever. It's a normal bird that's around. Or a wallaby, like, oh, whatever. It's hopping around. And I'm like, so total tourist vibes. But we were talking, so this is Shooting to Breeze. Welcome. Sorry for the long intro without you knowing what episode it is. But if you listen normally, you'd know that last week was 108. So this is episode 110.
Because we trash fired the last one.
No, just kidding. Trash fire. It's 109. Testing your mathematics. And last night was the Oscars. And we're doing this on a Monday. And it's coming out on a Wednesday. So when you're listening to this, last night was not the Oscars. But what do you love about the Oscars? Because you love award shows. And I realized I also am a big fan for multiple reasons. But what are some of your like top two or three things you love about award shows?
I think the first is that I genuinely like the medium of film and television, like just visual storytelling. That's usually why I care so much about like a project, because just everything behind it, like so many people had to come together, whether or not they think the content is good. Second, just three is hard.
Maybe just two.
That's harder.
Maybe 15. Give me 15 reasons you love award shows. You're like, the food. The people's faces.
I like the fashion of it, of like everyone getting dressed up, just looking gorgeous is great. What I find palpable is like how excited all these celebrities are to see each other. Because usually it's like past the, like a lot of time has passed since the like cast has seen each other or the crew has seen each other. So like them being reunited on this one night is really fun. Like you can just see how excited and like the camaraderie of it is really transparent.
Like they spent months together working on it. And that's the sad part about any like tour that we've done over the years with our band or like stage play or movie I was working on and having people actually get together is when you know you're done and you're like, oh, all these people are not going to be in the same place after this. And we got this like little pocket of time that was really cool. So I'm like, oh, like the play I did in college, I was like, well, this was a blast, and see you guys later. Hopefully I see some of you guys again. And so when you get back together, I'm sure it's like that. You just instantly feel so cool. Like we went on a 2-week tour with a band in Tennessee. I still consider them great friends. And I was like, we may never share the stage again, but it was so fun. And I was like, oh, and to me, it's like it happened yesterday. And those guys are all the same, even though they're in different bands and stuff now too. So it's having that, I think, is really cool.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like that I've created like this thing for myself of like
award shows. It's tradition.
It's tradition, and it's just me nerding out about stuff, technical and non-technical. And Hannah, our friend Hannah came over last night, and so it was fun just being loud and obnoxious and making mm-hmm. fun of absolutely everything and everyone. So
I think you said obnoxious.
Did know, I really?
It was a twist on obnoxious.
I meant obnoxious. Yeah. Obnoxious?
Obnoxious.
Oh, yeah. I see. I said obnoxious.
Obnoxious.
Got it.
Yeah, or something.
Obnoxious. Yeah.
It's great. Well, no, a new word. That might be the name of this episode. Obnoxious.
Obnoxious. It's ABBA. Just playing ABBA, a little too loud.
ABBA. You guys are obnoxious.
Yeah.
You can dance, but not that loud.
Yeah.
That song is great, actually. I heard it on the radio recently, the Dancing Queen one. And like
Dancing Queen.
Just like it's such like a uplifting song, and then it's like just keeps building into this epic melody for the chorus and stuff. And just it's like a anthem, but not really like an anthem, but it's amazing. Yeah. And I'm not going to say like I've just blast ABBA, or I guess it's ABBA, not ABBA. I don't know how they say it, but I don't really blast it normally, but it's on the radio and I was like, this is a really good song.
Yeah, they have a lot of good songs in their library.
So you guys were obnoxious. Mm-hmm. I was trying to watch it, couldn't get anything to work, and then I saw that it would be available the next day on Hulu, and I was like, I'll wake up early enough to watch it before we podcast. Then I slept till 9 something, so I watched part of it. But I did watch some speeches last night that were on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Award speeches and stuff.
Yeah.
So I like the award shows for, I was thinking about it yesterday too, for some similar reasons, like you were saying. I think what it is like faith in humanity. And it sounds like frivolous to say, oh, seeing some actors on stage gives you faith in humanity or something. But it's like, there's so many things that are kind of maybe negative in the world. And this is one of those like celebration things that gets everyone look like you were saying, everyone looks like their best. And you're like, wow, look at that actress. I haven't seen them in 20 years or actor. And they the one guy who was nominated but didn't win, but for The Fabelmans, which is the Steven Spielberg's like childhood story, basically. And he was the grandfather. He's 88. And I was like, he does not look 88. He looks maybe like 72, 73 years old. I was like, wow, impressive. So I just like seeing people anti-aging is really cool. And then I love cinema and movies too, and like the whole art of it and things like that. So whether they go into the technical side on some things too, but it's just like that whole world is enthralling and feels like the world's an okay place as long as there's still award shows. Maybe.
Yeah. There's something about acting that I think is really endearing. Like it's all fake, you know, like these people, these mm-hmm. grown-ups, you know,
adults,
fully capable adults are playing make-believe.
They're never playing themselves.
Weeks, months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really good at, you know,
pretending to be
being fake.
And, yeah. So that's why maybe it's kind of feels frivolous, but it also feels deep at the same time.
Yeah. Cause it's like you're still tapping into like being a child and using your imagination to mm-hmm. make someone else believe what you think is happening or what you're trying to evoke or portray.
Yeah.
In a role or story, which I think is really. I feel like the older I get, the more jaded I am to like life. And there's something about actors or acting in general that like
reverses that or helps counteract, or like, counteracts.
Yeah, it's just like refreshing to see people still playing, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's it for me.
That's all I want to do with my whole life. Yeah.
I just want to play.
Just want to play. And I posted a clip on Instagram of Seinfeld last night from like a stand-up bit, and they're like, people are saying, what are you doing? The show's not happening anymore. And he's like, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Nothing. And he's like, it takes a lot of effort to do nothing. He's like, because then someone's going to come along and offer you something, and then you have to really think about it so you don't lose your nothing by adding something, and then you have to end up dropping everything. And it's this little bit, but I was like, I just love that he was like, I don't have to be doing a bunch of stuff. Like, people assume like, whoa, what are you doing now? Like, you just graduated college. What are you going to do next? Are you getting married? You know, all these, everyone's like, what are you doing now? Sometimes you can be like, I'm not doing too much. Just enjoying yeah. things. I mean, it's a lot of work too. Like, a lot of people could not act and portray someone else. They can't get out of their own head. So the one thing I've thought about actors is like, you spend your whole life playing someone else. So at some point you're like, was my whole life, like, how much of my life did I spend not even being myself? But they get their whole, this is like a job. Like, when I go to a job, I'm sure I could be myself, but I'm not living my personal life. So hopefully they have a lot of good things in their personal life to counteract. Otherwise, it's like that clown meme that was like, the clown, after years of being a clown, he realized his whole life had been one entire joke. And he's sitting, it's like a sad face clown. So things like that. I think the actors are having a lot of fun. And I just love that's why I love bloopers from shows and stuff on YouTube you can find. And it shows seasons of shows and the bloopers or movies. And you see all the laughing and behind the scenes. I'm like, it's so fun when there's like people trying to get lines and they can't land them, and just like being a part of that would be so cool.
Yeah. Some of my favorite bloopers are from Seinfeld. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, when mm-hmm. she cracks, she just can't get a line out, and it's the same scene over and over and over again, and she keeps yep. laughing. So good.
The one with Jerry Stiller and playing George's dad. He's like, you want a piece of me? And then she's like, loses it. He's like, you want, and he keeps a pretty good face and he laughs on one, but she's just like, can't take it. And George, mm-hmm. Jason Alexander, but it is George, loses it too. And the one I just put it on last night after I started to watch Death Proof on the plane back from Australia. It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Okay. And it doesn't really explain much about it, but it's like these girls go out for a night on the town, this DJ and her friends, and then they meet this guy that they can't reckon with, or it was kind of vague. And I was like, okay. And it was Kurt Russell as the guy, but he's kind of like a creepy dude in it. And then he
old Kurt Russell, like, when did this movie come out?
This was 2007. So he doesn't look like old Kurt Russell. He has his hair dyed and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But he's playing like this, like, guy in this, like a stuntman, and he's at this bar.
Okay.
So I started watching it last night because I watched some on the plane, and I was like, well, there's kids around. This movie's probably going to get real violent. I'll just watch something else. I mean, who cares on the plane? But just in case. And then sure enough, he offers to give one of the girls a ride home, and ends up killing her by smashing the car around. It's a stunt car, so there's like the side that she's in is not protected and bouncing her around. And as soon as that happened, I was like, I'm not watching this.
Yeah.
Click. And then I put on Seinfeld to end the night because I was up till 1. I still couldn't go to sleep, even though I was exhausted, but it was just the time difference. My body's like, nope. So hopefully by tomorrow I'll be normal. But so I started put on Seinfeld, and there's an episode where George is dating this girl. It's the one where he eats an eclair out of the trash.
So I'm not like really he's familiar. At it. Okay.
So I'll fill out the story. Basically, he's dating this girl and he's like, oh, I love meeting the moms and the aunts. I get along really well. And so he gets along great. And the mom's like, George, you're such a gentleman. He's like, let me take these plates in the kitchen for you. He walks him into the kitchen and sets them down, and he eyes this eclair that has one bite out of it sitting on the little paper in the trash, like it's on its own eclair paper. And he's like, he goes down, grabs it and takes a bite, and she sees him pull it from the trash as she comes around the corner and take a bite. And she's like, eyes big, and he's like, no. And he chases her out. So he's trying to make, he's like, no, it was just on the top. He's like, my family, he's talking to the girl on the phone. My family at Jerry's apartment, my family ate out of the trash all the time as a kid. It wasn't that big a deal. And he's like, okay, thank you. And he's like, I got another chance. So then he's like, I got to make this right. So he buys flowers. I think just Larry David's writing is so genius. So this is what it is, really. So he's walking down the street with flowers to make a good impression. He's like, this coffee tastes like crap or whatever. And he throws it to the side and it lands on a guy's windshield. And the guy's like, hey. He's like, oh, sorry. And he doesn't have anything to clean the windshield with. So he grabs some newspaper out of the trash right there and starts wiping down the guy's windshield, hands the guy the flowers while he's cleaning. And so it looks like the guy has flowers and George is a homeless man. And then the mom's walking down the street, sees him. He's like, no. And then he chases her down the second time. So he's like, and Jerry's like, strike two. Then there's, yeah. So then the third one, she's like, hey, my mom's having a dinner party. Do you want to come up? Like a good third impression chance. And he's like, sure. So earlier in the episode, he had gone to the bathroom at Jerry's, and he's like, you know, when I go to the office, he's saying, for like a number two, he's like, he takes his shirt off. So he had been buttoning it back up. Like, why were you taking your shirt off? He's like, I just need a little freedom. So he like goes into the bathroom at her mom's place, walks out with his shirt off, just hairy chest. He's like, hey. And then everyone's like, then he looks down, and he just kind of puts his hands in his pocket, and it's like, you've blown it. So it's just brilliant. Like, it's so funny. And I've seen it before. It's just, you know, it's one of those, like, if you haven't seen it in a few years, it's still funny when you come back to it.
Yeah.
So that show is brilliant. It should win awards now for how good it was then.
I started Curb Your Enthusiasm a while ago. I haven't finished it. But yeah, it's funny.
It was going, I feel like it was going in the 90s, and then they rebooted it, right?
It was like early 2000s.
It was after Seinfeld. Okay. It's a little more chaotic than Seinfeld. It's more to an extreme because Larry David just gets to play himself doing what he does. But I actually love it. Yeah, it's really good. His character, Larry David's character, is like, he wrote for them what he would have said, basically, for a lot of like all these lines, like George's neurosis and like all these different characters and stuff too. So I got to get back to Curb Your Enthusiasm. And the theme song is just great. It's the Instagram special for like something to put on something when it's a joke, clown music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
So, but back from TV to Oscars. So there was a category I'm obviously not through all of it, and I want to get your thoughts on more of it than I saw. There was that documentary entry for like feature documentaries for award winning. I was like, you know what? You don't have to make a Hollywood. I mean, it's still done well, but it's a documentary telling a true story. It's like, there's all kinds of categories for the Oscars that I forgot about. Mm-hmm. But the one that won was the one on this Russian family where the guy is still in prison because he told the truth about Putin's war and stuff. And it was really moving to see that. And the wife of the husband, the wife of the guy that's in prison was up there and was like, hey, my husband's still in jail or still in prison, this and that. And you're like, wow, these are like real, real moments. So that's the stuff that makes it, it's not reality TV. It's not like scripted in a way, like these things, they're planned, but these are like real impactful stories.
What's your question?
So it's not a question. It's a statement.
You were just telling me about it. Great.
No, but I'm telling the listeners about it. Isn't it crazy that the guy, like they made a movie about him. He's still in prison. And they're just like, hey, so my husband's still in prison. Hopefully he can get out. Thank you guys for giving light on this. And I'm like, this is like a real world issue. This isn't like fluff like some of the other maybe awards that are just like, who wore it best or whatever else. It's like real.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Oh, that was the question. What do you think about that?
Yep, sure happened.
So you don't eat that stuff doesn't move you? You're just like, okay, get on with the stuff that's a little more nicer looking than this category. We don't care about documentaries. Yeah.
No, I think it's like, I don't think I've seen one quite like that. Like what happened last night. I think what I've seen before is people just being honest about how, like how hard their life has been, or how overlooked they felt even within the industry. And that is comes across. It's just very palpable that, you know, they've, that they feel honored and privileged and, you know, lucky that they've won this category, or that they have been shown the recognition for their work.
Yeah.
But when it gets personal like that, I think it's, I often don't know what to do with it. You know, like it feels like there's an actionable thing that I'm supposed to do, but I don't know necessarily what to do with it.
Well, and we're, and everyone at home watching, you're like, oh, well, it's just, and it makes you, makes me appreciate just the, I guess, the other aspects of life that don't involve that. Like neither of us have had to experience something like that in our lifetime so far. Yeah, so that's the stories that are really impactful that way, I think.
Yeah. And perhaps it's just, maybe the takeaway is to like stand up for justice and to not let tyrants just roll over everything and everyone because they just have power, or they kind of bully into having their way.
It's giving a voice to the thing that may, to the things that not everyone, even if they've heard about it, they don't have a reference, or like until you hear like a personal story on a topic, you don't have like a gauge of like how that's affecting people. Maybe you're just like, oh yeah, there's people losing their homes overseas, and you're like, oh, this guy tried to stand up for something right and now he's in prison for it. And the documentaries are always like telling one side of a story, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure the other side of this story is the wrong, is the wrong side. So this one seems to be on the path of like, not just like driving you towards a narrative just from seeing a preview for it, or like the trailer, whatever they had on there.
I always,
and there were other ones
of...
on like birds dying and stuff in parts of the world and pollution, but you know, those things happen too.
I always think of the line in Hotel Rwanda, where, so the genocide starts happening, and, or at least that, where, when the movie takes place and the, that like moment
in the
90s,
I think.
Yeah. It's a bunch of American tourists, I think. And they're talking and like shouting amongst themselves. And one of them goes, this is being televised. People back home are watching this, and they're just going to continue eating their dinner. Like, this is falling on deaf ears, you know? And I think it's, I think people need to be almost aware and fight against that thought of like passively letting things happen.
And that movie was very impactful. I loved it in the sense of that it wasn't like a feel good movie, but there's like good things that come through it. But it was done, I mean, Don Cheadle was so good in that. And I think I got a ripped version of it and ripped a DVD and watched it. So I don't know if I was really supporting as much as someone who paid at the time, but it was really, really nice. It was a good movie.
You wouldn't steal a car.
But you'll steal like all those things at the beginning of old
VHS
tapes.
You wouldn't steal a purse. You wouldn't steal
a house
from a bank.
Oh yeah, but they'll steal from you. But then you'll. But so why are you stealing this movie? Pay the pay the right. Yeah, it was the beginning of a theater theater ad. I think it wasn't.
No,
a theater,
it was on
right?
DVDs. It was on DVDs.
Oh yeah, for ripping it illegally. You're like, you were, this is the same as stealing. And then there's that one guy out there that's like, oh, I would. Yeah. I definitely would. I definitely would. Yeah, sure. I'll take this too.
I love that period of time, like the early 2000s, because I think of like. That scene in Fast and the Furious, the first one, where I forget what his name is.
He's the character.
He says that his character has ADHD and he's the one with the word flip dyslexia, and he has a whole bunch of other things. And but he's super smart, and he's graphically showing the car, and just the like that. What do you call that? That like stylist, the style of those graphics, that DVD rip matrix, like that Matrix look,
is all that era.
Is all that era. And it's like, I think of Gone in 60 Seconds. It's in that too.
That was a good movie.
And like that weird industrial
house music, music, but also bed. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like weird random like drill sounds.
Mm-hmm. It's actually probably a car engine, but it sounds like someone has a little drill by their mic. They're holding two like DeWalts, different sizes for different engines. They're like, these now it's two cars racing. Put the one drill up. Just like the Foley, they're like drill master, and then they have their name. That era, I mean, it was weird to see on the planes too. I flew Delta on this last trip, and weird to see all the old movies. It used to just be new releases they had out. They had movies back to like the 70s. They had 80s, 90s, 2000, like everything. So it's like something for everyone. I was like, that's cool that I can like watch an old movie I never saw before. And I watched like On the Waterfront from like the 50s or 60s or whatever it was. Probably 50s because it was black and white. Or they made it look like it was older. Young Marlon Brando. And it was very good, but it was like, you know, it's slower moving, but I was like, wow, I'm watching like piece of history here instead of like something brand new. And you can,
cause it was a, on a plane. It was a play first, right? On the Waterfront.
I don't know. I mean, it did highlight some very real topics of like, and I wanted to say this too. Then going to the story a little bit of it, Marlon Brando. And maybe this is a not a great comparison, but Tom Hardy has a Marlon Brando-esque vibe. Yeah.
So
like,
does
just like rough around the edges, big, a little bit built guy and kind of like tough guy.
Yeah. So does Ansel. Oh, gosh. What's that kid's name? He was. He was in freaking West Side Story. That kid.
Ansel is his real name.
It's either his first or last name. But yeah, that like broad.
Ansel Elgort?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the main character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they have that like broad face, a really strong jaw. I call that body type like Midwest corn.
Corn boy.
Yeah. You know, like John Hamm's a Midwest corn boy. You
okay.
Know? Just wide, tall, like thick. But
I think he actually moved from Midwest or East Coast too.
He's from like LA. Oh, is he from Atlanta?
Maybe he's East Coast. But I know he didn't start in LA. He moved out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the story of On the Waterfront, basically these gangs were, or the mobsters were controlling the docks and taking a cut from everything that came in, and the police were kind of paid off and everyone. And so then like the beginning of it, Marlon Brando's given, he's like the young kid in front, and he grew up with like his brother being a gangster. So he's like the kid brother and the main mobster guy. Like, he's like, I love this kid. And he was a boxer and stuff. So he like goes to do this job, and he thinks these guys are going to rough up this kid. And he like gets the kid to come out to check on his pigeons that are up on the roof. And then the kid gets thrown off the roof at the very beginning. And he was like, I thought they were just going to rough him up a little. I didn't think they were going to kill him. And then, you know, it's just such a classic story. And then I saw it coming together. Cause once you've seen a few of the Hollywood like plot lines, then you see like the guy had a sister and she's beautiful. And
he falls in love with her.
At the funeral. And then he like, they run into each other, and there's like, of course it's going to be his love interest. And then you're like, he's going to have to tell her later that he was involved in killing her brother. And then sure enough, and all those things, but just seeing how it all unfolds and then standing up to like, I'm not ruining a movie cause it's been out for 50 years or more, but just standing up to the mob boss and like the people actually, you know, there's power in numbers, I think was the like theme of that movie, like when they realize, oh, we don't have to work for you just because you're muscling us around and like killing some of us off, we can actually fight back. And I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because I was reading the screenplay book by Sid Field, the classic, like how to write a screenplay, one that's been around forever. And he references like 3 days on the Condor with Robert Redford, which I hadn't seen until I got on the first flight. And then he also references On the Waterfront. And he was like, I'm revising this book to put some newer references because I realize these movies are old, but they still hold up. And then yeah. I had watched both those movies on the flights, first before reading the book. And then after, I was like, well, there's On the Waterfront. I got to watch that now. So it was kind of serendipitous. Like people talk about a simulation and how things work together. And I was like, this does seem kind of interesting how I got both these movies right after reading about it on one. We were talking about word speeches.
Yeah. Okay.
So the ones you were saying, like just seeing how excited people were for like, or how like honored they were to be up there. And the kid that was on Indiana Jones, who's now a full grown man. I'm going to screw his name up. Hey, Hui Kwan, or what was it? You know his name? How to say it?
I do not know how to accurately pronounce it. No.
Okay. I they were saying it just about half an hour ago when I was watching it. So I'm sorry, but he is really good. And I didn't realize he was an Encino Man with Brendan Fraser, but they like mentioned that. And I was like, wow, that movie was not an award winner, but I thought it was good at the time. And you may not have seen it, but Brendan Fraser was a caveman.
Oh no.
So in a high school, they find this prehistoric man. And he like wakes up and then they take him to high school and try to make him fit in with all the other kids. No, so, and Brendan Fraser is the prehistoric man and Pauly Shore is in it. So they made that joke. And Jimmy Kimmel was like, wonder how Pauly Shore feels right now. And Brendan Fraser was like, I don't know. I don't know. This little face. But what did you think of his speech was very like heartfelt. And he was like the American dream. I came over on an immigrant boat and all these things, you know, or however he came to the US. And then Jamie Lee Curtis's was amazing too. Like she's like, my parents both were nominated. And then she looked up, like she's looking to heaven. She's like, what she was doing. She's like, mom and dad, I got an Oscar. And she's like 70s and now, and, but just like the childlike wonder, I think, and the excitement was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both their speeches were really great. I cried. When he won, actually, yeah, no, I cried in all three of their speeches because the female lead for Everything Everywhere All at Once also won.
And I need to, that was on the plane too, and I didn't watch it and I should have. The premise of it was just like this lady falls behind on doing her taxes and must do her taxes, and I was like, this is the award winner of the entire year. But there's a lot more to the story than just that. They just leave you with a very vague start premise, and then it's probably amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did you think of Jimmy Kimmel for his hosting and jokes?
Yeah. I'm kind of, it's either, I don't watch his show, so I don't know what he's normally like, but I've seen his jokes show. Felt very
like forced,
like they were just dated. Like,
well, it wasn't like, and they didn't really land. I didn't think he would like say it and it's like, oh, kind of funny, but he kind of like was slamming Steven Spielberg a little bit. He's like, Steven Spielberg just wrote about his own life and how his mom was leaving his dad or whatever else. And then I'm like, you got Steven Spielberg there, one of the most like revered directors in the world, and you're like making stabs about his personal life kind of as a little joke, but it wasn't like everyone's like dying laughing. Like the Ricky Gervais ones were really tough to watch because of how he's like, you brood of vipers, you like bed of snakes here making fun of, or like acting like you're so important. It's not like, his was hard to watch, but he had people genuinely like laughing. Like he had some hard landing jokes that were like a little uneasy. And this seemed really just like he'd written it out and then like the delivery didn't like maybe land on all of them either. The Nicole Kidman one was funny. Well, at the beginning, he's like, you've been stuck in the theater, that one empty Regal cinema or whatever, Lowe's theater for two AMC. Years. AMC, sorry, with that commercial for two years. So it's nice to see you out or whatever. Like, so he had a few that landed really well, but I thought his show, normally he's a little more natural. I think probably just a little nervous with that stuff.
Yeah. It's just
his intro was cool. Flying, parachuting in.
Yeah.
Like out of a Top Gun plane kind of thing.
Yeah. It just wasn't, I didn't think it was that funny.
Yeah.
And then I forgot he hosted, like by the time the show got started, I like forgot he hosted.
Because he didn't do much until the end, right? Everyone else is doing stuff.
Yeah. And I'm glad. I didn't think he was that funny. And it's almost sounded like his writers. I mean, all of it just felt very out of touch. Like, like unaware of real things.
Like when they were referencing last year's thing, he had some funny lines about Will Smith. He was like, what did he say? Like Hitch doesn't show up or something like. He had a few lines that were referenced to that. He's like, you know, you won't be able to get through me until you get through. This is one line that was landed well when he said Guillermo, and then they filmed the director and he's like, not me. And he's like, not that Guillermo. And then they show like his Guillermo for like security or whatever. So there's some good lines. But yeah, I still have more to watch, probably 2 hours. So much to go. So your overall take was great besides Jimmy.
Yeah. I thought it was a good year for the Oscars.
What do you think about the music? I know they always put some songs in there, different artists. Lady Gaga performed, and I did watch that one on YouTube. And I, you know, there was one lady. Okay, I have to say this. Lady Gaga used to wear these giant, like, to get attention when she first started, these giant outfits that were huge, and you're just like out of this world. Then you see Lady Gaga on stage wearing like dressed down, almost just her hair pulled back, in a Tomb Raider style, but just. That would be braided for those that don't know Tomb Raider, but she doesn't look like she like tried to like dress up for it, and maybe even minimal makeup, just natural looking more. And I was like, oh, okay. And then there was the one lady that they show an audience shot that had that giant, it's for a moment, had this white big thing around her, and she's sitting in the middle of the crowd. So imagine being the person sitting right behind her and you're like, oh, this is my first time at the Oscars. This is incredible. And then the person in front of you sits down and you don't see anything the entire night. Cause I don't think anyone behind her for at least a row or two got to see the stage. Did you see that moment when it showed that?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's like this little fluff. Too. Yeah. It's huge. And you're like, at least pull it down when you're sitting in the chairs. They should have put her in the back, but I don't even know who she was. I always try to put myself in other people's shoes. So when I saw that, I'm like, whoever's behind her is probably pissed. I can't even get a face shot. Be like, I was there. I was behind the lady in the white giant dress.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't really care for the performances. Rihanna's was good.
I haven't seen that one yet. The other song I hadn't heard of, there was a song this other girl did it sounded really good.
About the, and it was the piano player was nominated.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Like 54 times or whatever.
That's impressive. And so she's like, was she like a, what was the word I'm trying to say? A soundtrack scorer? Or is she like a musician?
I think so.
Yeah. It seems like it'd be a fun job. John Williams is like 90, what'd they say, 91?
I don't know.
Or something like that. At the beginning they were talking about it and they're like, because I didn't know Walt Disney. I mean, it makes sense Walt Disney would be nominated because he had so many movies and influential in the industry. But when they say, for scoring, like you hear names, there's like John Williams, who's the other guy that did Hans Zimmer. Those are the two that I'm just like, those are powerhouses, and I didn't realize they're so old. I'm like, there's gonna need to be some new John Williams coming out soon. But like Home Alone, was that Hans Zimmer? All those 90s, 2000s,
John Williams.
I mean, they've done so much good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to sit in on a symphony where you're like sitting there when they're all there scoring. It would be so cool. A friend of ours in LA, actually. So we went on this tour with that tour I was mentioning earlier with a band from Tennessee and one from LA. And one of those experiences, you're like, we're not going to get this again. Tour buses, hotels every night, and like playing all these cool places. But the guy that was filling in as the LA band's bass player, we stayed with him when we went to LA the next year. And he lived in, like, at the time it was $1,000 a month for a studio apartment in LA. And we slept on his living room floor, said hi to him or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's expensive. And I'm like, $1,000 a month is really good for a place. But he was part of, so he worked on film scoring. He was like part of the team that would do movies. And he would be like, yep, this next week we're going in, we're working on this movie. And he would be in there with the orchestra. And I was like, this guy is living the life. And he had all the, like, back then they would send out for reviewing before, like, the Emmys, they would send out these box sets of, like, the shows to watch. So he was supposed to watch all these shows before being part of the panel that, like, votes and reviews. So he was in the LA film industry, just the audio side of it, and a musician and stuff. Really nice guy. So all those, I look back, I'm like, we got to do some pretty cool things for a while going, just driving around, recording, doing all these things, meeting all these cool people. And I hope he's still doing well in that industry, but just makes me want to, like, somehow get into Hollywood again. Not that I was ever there. I just drove through a few times, but it's like, oh, never. I liked how the one guy from Indiana Jones, which we can't say his name right, so I'm not going to try, was like, never give up on your dreams. You know, and he points at the camera, I think, right? At the end of his speech, he, like, pointed, this is to say it can be done. So it was like a chance to be like, oh, and after watching that, I was like, what could I start working on that I've always wanted to do that I haven't? So it just gets the wheels turning a little bit. So besides all the Oscars, let's get into real life for a moment. I know we're not going to talk for 2 hours here, but how's it going besides the Oscars?
It's going good. I had a pretty decent week last week, in spite of a whole bunch of, it was like the aftermath of putting in a bunch of work for something. I'm really tired.
You're really tired. Okay. I'm trying to gauge, like, the glaze in the eyes and is it sadness? Is it?
No, just tired.
I
also didn't want to interrupt you.
I like interruption. You can cut it anytime.
I hate it. Yeah. I really,
well, then how do you even get through a conversation with me? Because I'm going to interrupt constantly.
Yeah. I actually don't.
I think you get through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like talking. One thing I was going to say, too, on the trip is my brother can talk more than I can, which is hard to believe, but he can. And my dad used to talk a ton. So I think our whole family is just like, if we're on a topic we like, it can go and go and go. So feel free to rein me in and cut me off if I've gone too long. That's all I'm saying. I need a little a check once in a while.
Okay.
Okay. That's it. So not, and you're like, yeah, I've been trying for 100 something episodes and it hasn't worked yet. So that's fine. But just, it's just that I have a lot I'd like to share. And as NAF would call it, shinfo sometimes, I'm like, I don't care if it's bad info or whatever else. It's stuff that's important to me. So I'll share it either way. So thank you for listening. And thanks for interrupting when you want to. And if you don't interrupt, it's okay too. But we love cinema. We love film. And I got to start watching more award shows and watching more shows. I like this because now I have a list of movies to check out that I haven't checked out. And there's so many more that were great that didn't get nominated. But I haven't even seen some of those, so.
Yeah. I watched 4 of them last week. I watched Everything Everywhere. I watched Women Talking. I watched the Irish one with Colin Farrell.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And, oh, man, what was the 4th? Tar. I watched Tar.
Oh, you did. Okay. So Nikki was mentioning that when I saw that one, I was the whole movie, and it's cool to see the cast get up. I was like, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I watched all 4 of those. I want to rewatch, Women Talking and the Irish one, the Banshees of something.
What was the meme that you posted about Women Talking? it was funny.
It wasn't a meme. It was like them. It was Vanity Fair, I think, saying that they had Did they win something? I don't remember.
It said something about like women talking, and it was like, it was really boring. Just a bunch of women talking at the beginning.
That's what I said. Okay.
That's what I was saying. You made it like a meme. The way you did it was like a meme for it.
Sure.
So explain it for the people that didn't see it.
So I started watching the movie and I stopped halfway through. One, because I was tired. Like, I had already seen another movie right before that.
Oh, yeah.
And
double dipping.
Yeah. But like, literally nothing had happened. This whole setup for the movie is that, I mean, things did happen, but I was also looking at my phone for a large portion of the movie, so I wasn't really paying attention.
So you missed it. That's but the listen, problem. Getting on the phone is the worst. I do that all the time in shows. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be watching this screen.
How about this? Just be better.
Pause the movie, get on your phone, then start the movie when I'm off my phone. I need to do the same thing. I do that.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying make movies that are interesting. How about that?
Well, I think we're so used to just going to our phones. No matter what it is, we're going to go to our phones. You could be in a conversation with someone and go to your phone because that's just what our brains do.
Yeah.
Because we're so used to it. But yeah, maybe it's a boring movie. I do that on older shows. I'm like, I can just listen and catch what they're doing in the background and then check social media. So, yeah. But yeah, be better. Okay.
But Women Talking, the whole setup is, I forget what religion it is, but it's like Mennonite vibes. And this grouping of people. This is what I am unsure of. These people roll into their colony, sexually abuse and rape these women. Oh, and then
it takes a dark turn.
They either get caught for whatever reason, these people return and tell the women to forgive them, or they're essentially going to be shunned. No, it's not even that romanticized. It's like, you're going to forgive us. If not, you're going to be shunned. And they leave. They give them like a couple days to process
after doing
everything.
That?
And then so these women are trying to decide if they want to stay or go before that time elapses. And then that's the entirety of the movie. Like, that's the bulk of the movie, of like them having their own dynamics and also trying to figure out this, like, what to do. And then the movie, I wouldn't say resolves, but it's clear that the women made a choice.
So they keep it a little vague, but it still gets to a spot. But it is so that it's done in the style of a movie from 40 years ago, where it's just like dialogue driven and you got to wait for stuff.
Yeah. Kind of dry.
But I just love the thing you said, where it's like women, it's just women, women talking at the beginning, and then it finally gets good after stuff happens. And it's like, it's called Women Talking. I assume it's going to be just a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Epic. Mm-hmm. But it was it made me want to watch the movie seeing that thing. So probably watch it and I'll get some old movie vibes, because that's what I'm been watching. Just finished Columbo, the 10 seasons. And I'm like, oh, there's nothing more. Dang
the
it.
New one?
No, there's no new one.
Yeah, there is.
Not a Columbo.
No.
There's Magnum P.I.
I'm thinking of who was the guy that was in The Americans? He's like Mason Perry.
There's a new Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Perry Mason, the old one, is on too on these shows. I could watch the very old one.
Mary
it's black
Payson?
And white. Mary Payson is on. Maybe Mary Payson, Payson Mary? Is the name. Maybe Mary Payson, Payson Mary. Is the name of this episode. I don't know. I always want a name for each one now, so it's whatever we say that sounds funny.
Yeah, Mary Mason Payson. Perry. What's the real name of it? Mason Perry.
It's Perry Mason. It's Perry Mason, and Ozzy has a song called Perry Mason. It's like, who, and the lyrics are, who can we get on the case? We need Perry Mason, someone to put them in place. We need Perry Mason again. So it's like, a murder's happened, we need someone to solve this. So it's a great song. I love it. If there wasn't copyright issues, we'd play it on as the outro for the episode. So anyway, I'm going to watch the new Perry Mason then, because but Columbo, there was a one off, and I've already watched all the Hawaii Five-0s, and I watched the new Magnum PI. I have not watched the old one. So now I got to watch the old Magnum PI. You're still caught, still stuck.
Pace and Mary.
I mean, maybe we could call it Mary Payson or Payson Mary at the end or at the, for the episode. Or Perry Mason. I mean,
I'm still so confused on what it's actually called.
It's Perry Mason. P-E-R-R-Y-M-A-S-O-N. Perry Mason. Do yourself a favor. You're going to love this. Go to Peacock and watch, I think it's, or Paramount Plus. Hold on real quick.
That's so dumb.
Let me see if Peacock will sign in on here. Oh my goodness. Nope. I have to go to the other one. Anywho, it's on the original. Watch the original Perry Mason before the new one. I think you'll appreciate it. And it's black and white Hollywood era. It's very cool. So,
okay.
And the difference between Perry Mason and Matlock, Matlock's a little easier to say, is that in Perry Mason episodes, is it just the name that gets you know? I'm just going to say the first show, the older show, the murderer always feels guilty and they're in the courtroom. And then they said, it wasn't them, it was me. And a lot of the times he would get people to guilt confess. And so he didn't have to solve it. He got close. And then the person would admit it. Where Matlock, they had to solve it in court.
He's a detective or a lawyer?
He's a detective.
Like
and
a
then
PI?
PI, and these all end up going to court, typically. Like, they end in a courtroom. Same with Matlock. He was, like, kind of, his team was detective team, but he was also a lawyer. So he, like, would get him on the court stand. And that was Andy Griffith's later days. So
all their names are so dumb. Perry Matlock. Mason, Columbo, Matlock.
Well, it's the name of the detective. Columbo's cool. I love that name. And there's that song that, remember that song by Mr. President I played for you? The Coco Jumbo song? And they're like, turn and say, Columbo, now I gotta go, yo, Coco. And it's like, so they put the name in there. And I was like, why would you say Columbo? Unless it's the only reference is the TV show. So, and you know Peter Falk, the actor. You're aware of him, probably. No. He's the guy that plays Columbo. In the show, he plays he always talks about Mrs. Columbo. He's a loving husband, detective. In real life, a bit of a womanizer, big drinker, and absent father. So his character was awesome in the show. And then in real life, he had some more struggles. He's not with us anymore. He lived too early, but smoked a lot of cigars. But really cool character. Columbo is a great show. So all these old ones are teaching the new actors what to do. So just watch Perry Mason. Give it a chance.
Yeah. Mary
Payson. The old one. The old one first. Mary Payson. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was the Oscars 2023, and this is the 95th Oscars. So thank you for joining us.
Jimmy Kimmel never hosts again.
People don't host that often again. I mean, Ricky Gervais did too.
He's done it for the past like 3 years.
No way.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Remember the year, they broadcasted for COVID. Homegirl Jennifer Aniston like assisted him and literally started a trash fire, like a garbage fire on set.
How?
They put something in a can.
Oh, really? A fire, not just
and
what
then
she
they
said.
Thought they put it out, and then it engulfed again, and then so they had to come out with a fire extinguisher.
Distinguisher. It distinguishes which kind of fire that you're dealing
that
with.
That is fire. Yeah.
This is a trash can fire. So this one, this thing told me.
Yeah.
It distinguishes
this here,
fire.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like. The people that won were met by people in like hazmat suits that gave them the Oscars at their homes.
No way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Go back. Funny. It's really good.
I didn't see that one. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think he'll host again. Let's hope not. Yeah. But we're all about positivity. Like... So let's say instead of him not hosting, he's doing something really important somewhere else.
You can say that.
Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah.
I'll let you say that.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for allowing me to say that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you for joining us for episode 109, the Oscars. Mary Payson. Fire Distinguisher, perhaps. We'll see you next week with possibly a guest. I don't know yet. We're finding out. So we'll see you soon.
See you.